In a world full of democratic republics and tyrannical governments, be a democratic republic who is secretly a tyrannical government that everyone knows is a tyrannical government, but we all pretend that is not the case as they take our rights one by one and we ask ourselves, man, I thought we were a democratic republic. I had no idea as I was turning in my gun into the buyback program that my country could ever turn into a tyrannical government. At least all those pesky conservative gun nuts that warned us about the government taking all our rights away are locked up in prison with no rights. A first clear sign that an attack on your rights was imminent could be a split vote in Congress that was not on party lines. The reauthorization of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act had a final vote of 273 to 147, with 147 Republicans and 126 Democrats voting in favor of the reauthorization, and 59 Republicans and 88 Democrats voting against the measure. In a statement from Speaker Mike Johnson defending his support, he stated, quote, "When I was a member of the House Judiciary Committee, I saw the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing on sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it was for national security. And it gave me a different perspective," end quote. So let me get this straight. From an outside perspective, the FBI is impeding on our rights, but once you're in on it, it makes total and complete sense. Let's see what the bill actually is. ABC News puts it as the federal law sets out the rules and procedures for gathering foreign intelligence through electronic surveillance, physical searches, pen registers, and more. It established the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Courts, FISC, and the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court of Review. Okay, so foreign. Let's keep reading. The FISA, the FISA debate on Capitol Hill largely centers around Section 702, which allows the U.S. government to collect electronic communications of non-Americans located outside the country without a warrant. But it sometimes results in the collection of data on Americans who are in contact with those surveilled individuals, making it controversial. They say having no warrant goes against America's privacy. Is the picture settling in for anyone? There's a reason an earlier version of this bill was a tie. National security officials freaking out, Biden administration making phone calls. It is vital to our national security that we take your rights. I mean, we impede your rights. I mean, just give me the damn phone. You know we're watching you anyway. Ignorance is strength, exclaimed Big Brother, who was quoting a secret meeting of the United States government official, probably. Supporters of the bill will say, look at all the ISIS terrorists we have killed because of this. Remember September 11th? Never forget. We got the guy that helped the guy that did the thing on September 11th. So, you know, we got to keep Section 702. You're welcome. Remember the whole surveillance of Carter Page, the advisor in Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign? I mean, the Justice Department admitted its errors in the FISA applications for surveillance on Page afterwards. However, the ordeal didn't include Section 702, but rather another provision in that law. There's a reason former President Donald Trump and some of his conservative allies are skeptical, to say the least, and a lot of them are outright criticizing and against this law. I mean, it's because Donald Trump that the law that was going to go for 5 years dropped down to 2. But none of that matters. Look, we are really sorry, but please keep giving us the right to take your rights away, as freedom is clearly slavery. But I will say, don't worry, everyone. Speaker Mike Johnson promises to put a resolution next week out to close the loophole that allows illegal spying on American citizens. But you'll have to wait till next week, and it might not pass. As I will say over and over again, as long as I have this podcast, the government is not your friend and never will be. The government is a tool, and as soon as the tool becomes large and in charge, war to them will be the only way to keep the peace. And then where will we be as a nation? I'm Pierce Crawford, and welcome back to the Crawford Press. Welcome back to the show. Happy Saturday, folks. You know, if you want to support the show and our efforts to get more voices out there and not let the entire conversation be held by the large news organizations, please follow the show on your preferred podcasting platform. We really do appreciate the support. You know, I think the most unfortunate case of ignorance is strength is our belief in the experts and the medical professionals. I mean, the experts went to college and know everything, right? Then COVID-19 happened and they lied to us. They then lied about lying to us. They lied about lying to us. If you remember the Dr. Fauci speaking on the mask shortage, you'll know what I'm referring to specifically. Anyway, that is besides the point. COVID-19 got rid of all confidence that we had in all these medical professionals. And it's sad, but it means that we can't take the word of a bunch of scientists, doctors, or PhDs in gender studies. I mean, if you believe anything from the latter one, I would question your mental fitness. But anyway, that is besides the point. Again, all this is to say European Union drug regulators say there is no link between Ozempic, Wegovy, and suicide. Yes, that's very specific, but this is coming to us from AP News. The review from the EU's regulators was triggered last July by an anecdotal reports that people taking the drugs had thoughts of self-harm. The regulators examined studies, post-marketing data, and other research related to medications used in nearly a dozen drugs used to treat the diseases. Both agencies said they would continue to closely monitor reports of suicidal thoughts or actions in people taking the drugs known as GLP-1 receptor. Look, I am not trying to say some conspiracy theory that the EU regulators have alternative motives. I'm just saying be careful. We can't trust everything we hear anymore. If you feel different, figure out what in your life has changed. Get opinions from multiple sources. Don't just talk to your primary care doctor. Figure it out. Your health and your safety matter. That's all I'm trying to get across here. COVID-19 was the biggest flop as far as medical professionals go, and it has changed our culture forever. So from here on out, question everything. About a week or so ago, I spoke on how DEI programs do more harm than good. DEI basically says if you're Black or Hispanic or a woman for that matter, you can't make it on your own, which is awful and idiotic. I know I'm making it simple, but that's really what it is. Race is the worst way to judge a person as it has no merit on who they are as a person. Why this is relevant today is the U.S. Senate is picking up a proposal to cut funding for all medical schools that push DEI. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana pushed the Educate Act, a bill that would eliminate federal funding to medical schools that embedded the diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI agenda into their admission or instruction policies on Thursday. Quote, woke universities are forcing America's future doctors to care more about race and gender than saving lives, Kennedy asserted. Okay, so DEI, affirmative action, all these programs that they want to push to kick whites and Asians out, it really just makes a person more racist and sexist toward these people in a workplace. And that sounds bad, but let me explain here. If I see a post from, say, Delta Airlines, and they're going to say, we want to hire more women because of disparity, and then I walk onto a plane and it's all female pilots, I'm going to have serious doubt in their abilities because it's clear that the company is pushing to hire women for the sake of hiring women, not because they're better pilots. And now look at the contrast. If I heard nothing from Delta Airlines about DEI or wanting to hire a certain race or gender, and I walk onto a plane like normal and I see, say, an all-female crew, I probably wouldn't think of anything of it. I'd be like, huh, all females. Go about my day. It would be in poor faith, however, to not mention the other side of the argument. In a research study titled A Discrimination Report Card, white-sounding names, whatever that means, are favored more than 24 points to get a callback over black-sounding applicant names. According to The Hill, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Chicago recently filed 83,000 fake job applications for 11,000 entry-level positions at multiple Fortune 500 companies, with names like Brad, Greg, Darnell, Lamar, Amanda, Kristen, Ebony, and Latoya. Look, if this is true, this is a fascinating point. However, I would push back because there are stereotypes for names. I mean, case in point, Karen being a crazy white lady, Chad being a party college student, Donna, you're a secretary, I'm sorry. Or, I mean, I can't tell you the amount of kids I've ran into that are named Queen that felt more important than anybody else around them, and they clearly weren't. So, like racial stereotypes, they aren't necessarily true, but I think it is important to point it out. Also, did the application put a specific area they were from? This might have something to do with it. I mean, when you think of Chicago, you do think of drive-by shootings. So there might be some bias with the location as well. I think this is just very pointed as far as the report card goes. But what do I know? I'm just reading the information. I think boiling it all down to just black or white for the names, and that's the whole reason, I think overly simplifies on the possibilities for the outcome. But back to the initial point. DEI programs hurt the ones they're trying to help more than anything. I mean, it's saying that anyone in that specific category needs help when everyone else had to struggle just to get into medical school. It says that work done by people included in this program doesn't matter because of their skin color. We have laws against discriminating against someone for their race or sex for a reason. Not hiring the best people for the job over how they look just makes the world a lot more cynical. Final story I want to point out today. I just want to touch on this lightly. Tennessee lawmakers have passed a bill that criminalizes adults who help minors get transgender procedures. According to Fox News, the lawmakers in the state's Senate on Thursday passed a bill on a 25-4 vote that would make it a felony for adults to aid minors in seeking gender transition procedures. It now heads to the GOP-led House, where it is expected to get additional Republican support. Adults who break the law could face prison time of 3 to 15 years and fines up to $10,000 under the Class C felony that the bill allows. The bill also authorizes a person who violates this amendment to be held liable in a civil action for such violation. I mean, we're talking about minors, people. That's the key word. No matter what anyone tells you, these procedures are not life-saving care. They are life-altering. They are life-changing, which are very different. The first phrase there implies it's a net good, and it's not. I mean, there's not really much else to say here. I just really wanted to point out this is good on Tennessee for their trying to protect minors from this gender ideology that is hurting our youth. And look, I know the Democrats would rather sexualize kids and ruin their future for votes instead of protecting them, but we must do everything in our power to protect the next generation from this evil. But hey, I guess some people might just call that my opinion. Anyhow, that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, I will talk to you tomorrow. God bless.